Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you so much for joining American Muslim Community Foundation today. We are going to be doing updates on the situations in Afghanistan, Morocco, Libya, and Palestine as well. Just wanting to start with a quick dua, and inshallah, may Allah put barakah in all of the organization's efforts that are here today and so many others that are doing much needed work. I know today and the last week have been really challenging, and obviously these disasters have been happening for a very long time, and these natural disasters in the last month. So my heart goes out to each and every one of you representing your organizations today. So thank you so much for the work that you do. Before we get started and on with the organizations joining us, we're going to do a very brief update on what AMCF does and why we're here. So again, this is to learn more about the different relief efforts. Thank you so much for joining. We will be offering this reflection and moment of prayer, and allowing each and everybody to come together and share more about what they are doing. Now we're going to move into what AMCF does, and then the presentations, you'll have 10 minutes each. So you'll be able to share a little bit more on each of the disasters. So, oh Allah, please allow us to utilize the resources that you've given us in our time, our talent, and treasure to be able to help those affected by these natural and man-made disasters. Oh Allah, please allow us to have patience, have understanding, and have the strength to help those who need our help. From the Quran, there's a ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayahs 155 and 156. That state, and we surely will test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient, who, when disaster strikes them, say, indeed, we belong to Allah, and indeed, to Him we return. So AMCF is a community foundation. We are here to support the nonprofit community, the donor community, and utilize and help social causes through grants, capacity building, and overall general philanthropy. Our vision is leading sustainable and strategic Muslim philanthropy for today and future generations. Our mission is cultivating donor giving and diversifying funding pathways to advance charitable causes. We do this through our core values of being sacred, strategic, sustainable, collaborative, diverse, and inclusive, and do all of that with integrity. Some of the different programs that we provide across the country and in service of, we love to feature different nonprofits across the United States. That's why we have these guests on today. We have a social impact accelerator, which is a list of 16 different webinars that you can purchase and watch asynchronously and learn at your own pace, with a variety of topics from capacity building to marketing and finance and fundraising and government, how you utilize your board for your governing policies. For nonprofit organizations, we offer endowments where you can invest in Sharia compliant options. And then we do these types of webinars and ongoing consulting for organizations as well. In 1 month, on November 18th, we will be having our Muslim Philanthropy Awards and annual symposium. The topic is going to be on endowments and best practices and how they got started, how they got involved. And we are going to be, who the awardees of these various awards are. So definitely join us. It's going to be virtual on Saturday, November 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. You can buy your tickets, you can still sponsor. So thank you to all those who have done so already. Now, we have with us today representatives from Human Appeal, Penny Appeal, Helping Hand, and Zakat Foundation. I'm going to pass it off to Amina Zamir from Zakat Foundation to kick things off. So you can go ahead and share your screen and we'll let you start your 10 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mohi. Thank you, Sister Ola, for reaching out. And thank you all for making time during this very, very hectic time. I'm going to set up. It's my first time I'm sharing the screen on Zoom, so you guys bear with me. It's been crazy because I feel like I'm so, I don't know how many of you know, Mr. Demir is the executive director, the founder of the Zakat Foundation of America. And he's my father, and we're Turkish. And our family was specifically hit with the earthquake that happened in February. And it seems like we just stabilized ourselves as far as like our emergency relief campaign. And when I say stabilize, you know, there's an entire approach of you assess the situation, you address the immediate needs, and you try to provide some sort of sustainability to the individuals that have been hit. And so it seems that we just found some stability in Turkey, and then Morocco hit, and then Libya hit. And then Palestine and Afghanistan. And I know that we're all aware of the signs, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about, but it seems as if they're happening more and more frequently. And it seems as if they're happening more and more intense. And so I don't know if I can speak for anyone else. I can speak for myself, but it's definitely been mentally draining. Not only are you like looking at statistics, being in the humanitarian world, you know, you assess these statistics as individuals. And it's been a very heavy time. So I just want to throw that out there. If anyone else is feeling sad. Okay. So can everyone see my screen? Cause it looks. Brother Mohi, could you give me like a thumbs up if you can see the presentation? Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. So Bismillah, that's just my little intro. So as all of you know, I'm sure that we've partnered with all of the organizations on this call today, but alhamdulillah, we utilize, as an NGO, we utilize Islamic traditions and values and implement relief work, whether that's immediate through political, natural disasters, or education, orphan sponsorship, refugee empowerment, a variety of different programs. And alhamdulillah, we have the capacity and do it to perform in over 40 different countries. We have 7 offices globally. I just returned from Argentina. We did a field visit. We have like 12 community centers in Argentina. So we have Argentina, Jordan, Turkey, Mali, Ghana, Bangladesh, Jordan, and then the United States. Alhamdulillah. So currently, I'm going to skip over. Sorry. So currently our work in Morocco, prior to the events that transpired in Morocco, we had a consistent, reliable partner where we were able to implement our livestock program, which is essentially you gift a family in need, either a male and a female goat or a male and a female cow, and the family members, they benefit off of this livestock, whether it's through selling the wool or selling the milk or turning it into butter, or the children, the offspring of those two animals, selling them. So alhamdulillah, we've already had a really, really strong presence in Morocco prior to the events that have taken place. But since then, alhamdulillah, we've distributed over 200 food packs, 200 hygiene kits, 2000 hygiene kits, and a variety of different beneficiaries. And like I said previously, you look at a situation, especially with emergency relief, and you try to address the needs immediately, you know, get people in a safe place, specifically with Morocco. As you all know, majority of these individuals are living. I don't know how to put it, more rural area versus a metropolitan area. And so you try to allow these individuals just some sort of stability and consistency. And this is our donation, our 100% donation policy. We always get questions from donors when people say donation, like 100% of your donation is allocated to the campaign. They ask us, they're like, you know, where does the administrative fees come from, the overhead fees, so on and so forth. And so I always inform donors, typically, let's say we raise $10,000 from Morocco. Zakat Foundation has pledged typically 30 to 40% more than what has been raised. So if we raise $10,000, we typically have pledged $50,000. So even if that donor, even if we get that 10,000, we send that 10,000, we still have a hefty amount of funding that we anticipate we're sending to that region. And then of course our admin fees are taken from Sadaqah, our Sadaqah campaign. We don't take it from emergency relief or the orphan sponsorship campaign. Our work in Libya, oh, and also forgive me if I talk fast. I've been told I'm a fast talker, so forgive me. But I'll be open to questions if there are following. So in Libya, the situation was a little bit different because we had not established a reliable partner prior to the disaster that hit. We just have, as you all know, creating that partnership and that reliable relationship, it's a variety of different factors, right? They have to be an approved NGO. They have to have a good standing in the government. You have to be able to send money there. They have to be vetted through the local, but through the American banks. So it's a variety of different factors. But alhamdulillah, we were able to establish a relief, a partner that focuses on relief work. We distributed medical supplies, hygiene kits, food packages, and then we were distributing the tent and the floor mat. And again, this is our pricing breakdown. our work in Afghanistan, alhamdulillah, Zakat Foundation of America has always had a pretty strong presence in Afghanistan. Prior to the most recent travesty that has hit, the earthquakes that have hit, we had we established an educational campaign for young females. I think it was last year. You have to forgive me. All of these events are occurring back to back to back. Last year, we were able to evacuate 50, specifically 50 women that were in Afghanistan, alhamdulillah. We're in the process of opening our office or getting an approved office in Afghanistan, which will again, you know, when we're working in this line of work, we all know that, you know, you can get people, you can drop off a bag of rice, get people this temporary assistance, but we need to get people back on their feet and allow them to provide for themselves, you know, because you can't be in a state, no one, it's not viable either for the organization or the individual to constantly be receiving aid and for an organization to constantly provide aid. You want individuals to get, again, some sort of consistency back to their daily routine. And that can include everything from housing, education, to mental health resources. You know, I know myself, my cousins in Turkey, some of them face like PTSD because there was all those aftershock earthquakes. And so it's holistic, right? We're trying to get people back in a space where they can feel somewhat normal. And the same similar breakdowns for the pricing. I can't speak on any other organization, but I know Zakat Foundation, we tried to keep our pricing, like if one medical supply costs $35 in one region, we try to keep that pretty consistent, even though we know accessing resources or providing resources for a certain area may be higher or lower compared to other areas. Like a perfect example, one sheep in Mali is like $100, but a sheep in Afghanistan can range anywhere from $300 to $400. But for the donation policy, we tried to keep it pretty uniform just for consistency. briefly speaking on Gaza, and this is an ongoing, this is a more ongoing situation. Alhamdulillah, right now, we already had our established orphanage with PCRF. And so we did have aid as far as hygiene kits, food, like basic food necessities. And then from what I understand, we're working right now with an organization that focuses on medical supplies that was already established in Afghanistan. But it's a very small quantity. I mean, it's to be realistic, like we all know the situation there. And so we're trying to stay consistent, inshallah. Same thing, we're working with short-term and long-term initiatives. What I love with PCRF is what they do is they provide a lot of mental health counseling for women and children in Palestine, which I think is, it's, if poor Philip, I'm not laughing. Sometimes I get nervous, but the reality of Palestine is so much more than statistics, because we're talking about possibly three generations now, four generations that require mental health resources. And so just, you know, we're just scraping surface level with this current generation, but alhamdulillah, we have been there since 2002, and we're going to continue our work, you know, as long as we're blessed. I'm sorry about that. Ambulance, give me 1 second. And lastly, these are the links. Of course, it's the cat.org, and you can access all of the information through our social media platforms. Everyone, I feel like I'm familiar with majority of you, but again, I'm Chief Operations Officer. I call myself a glorified donor relations coordinator, because that's what majority of my job and my role is ensuring that the donors are satisfied. I've had a lot of Q&As recently with donors, and I like it. I like when donors are constructively asking me questions, because, you know, it's not like you're making a purchase through a vendor and you're receiving an item, but you're providing, you know, usually your Zakat dollars, and it only makes sense that you're comfortable and you have faith that the funds are going to a region and an organization that is reliable. So I'm always open, always free to questions. And I think I just hit my 10. I don't know. I don't know if I hit my 10 minutes or if I'm
good. Perfect on timing.
Perfect. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Amina, so much. And we've shared the Zakat Foundation's website, and you can find all of the other information that she has shared. Next up, we have Shafak Zia from Penny Appeal, and she's going to share more about the work that Penny Appeal has been doing.
Great. Thank you so much, Muhi, and thank you, Amina. That was a wonderful presentation. Salam, everyone. I'm Shafak Zia, Chief Programs Officer with Penny Appeal USA. For those who are unfamiliar with us, Penny Appeal USA is a relief and development organization with a really big vision for the world. We want to create the best communities we can to break the cycles of need and poverty for good. That's why we work to turn small change into a big difference. We work both domestically and internationally. And the way that we approach our work is through a strong localization model, where we work with vetted and trusted local teams who best understand the needs of their communities. We believe strongly that communities are best positioned to serve and address their needs, and we can bridge the gap with resources and capacity development. So I'm going to take us through each country and walk through how we've been doing this and addressing the natural emergencies we've unfortunately seen in the last few months. Starting with the Morocco earthquake response. So the earthquake has devastated thousands of families, exposing them to harsh conditions. While our teams have been working tirelessly, the scale of the need is overwhelming, particularly as winter is closing in on the high Atlas Mountains. Thus far, relief efforts have cleared vital routes, including the Igil area in El Houz province. Yet issues remain with road accessibility, especially in remote areas, further compounded by the deteriorating road conditions and potential weather challenges. We've responded primarily in the provinces of El Houz and Thourdont. Please excuse me for anyone who you know, is Moroccan and knows much better, through the provision of warm meals, food packs, and non-food items, including mattresses, tents, and hygiene kits. Winter is coming, and the most pressing needs will be able to provide blankets, warm clothing, and shelter. So we plan to be doing these distributions over the next month, wanting to ensure that especially the unhoused have access to some level of warmth. In terms of Libya, we had not been previously present in Libya. And so similar to Zakat Foundation, we were able, you know, we worked quickly to address and find vetted partners. We have thankfully been able to do that. Urgent needs in the order of priority kind of are shelter, healthcare, in terms of first aid, emergency care, and then access to safe water. Increasingly, more people are in need of support to access markets, and then they also need access to safe sanitation and more protection measures. Thus far, we've been able to provide food packs and safe drinking water. And similar to the case of Morocco, winter is coming. When we're expanding our distribution efforts, we want to ensure that families have warm clothing, blankets, and shelter, as many are displaced or their homes are inhabitable. In terms of Afghanistan, the situation in Afghanistan develops on a daily basis. As we've now seen, there's been 4 earthquakes just in a period of 10 days. To date, nearly 44,000 people across 6 districts are reported to be directly affected by the recent earthquakes. Following the earthquakes, families are living out in the open in makeshift shelters or in informal settlement sites, leaving them vulnerable to weather, health, and other protection hazards. Penny Appeal USA has been able to provide food and non-food items, primarily in the villages of the Injil district of Herat. While you'll see that, you know, the provision of items have been fairly consistent across the countries, as we see that those are the highest needs following a natural disaster. Winter is especially harsh in Afghanistan as well. And so our main efforts over the next coming weeks and month is to ensure protection against the cold through providing blankets, shelter, and warm clothing. The work we've done is honestly just the beginning. We're working to meet the immediate needs on the ground right now, but we'll also be working on rebuilding in each of these countries in the long term. When we provide emergency response in a country, it's not just about providing, you know, in the weeks or months following the disaster, but then how can we continue working with these communities to rebuild and reestablish and inshallah come out better on the other side. These past couple months have really shown us how disaster can strike at any moment. There are compounding needs and we must be agile and ready to meet them at any moment's notice. We're very thankful to our teams on the ground and to the donors who continuously support our emergency response efforts that allow us to respond quickly. While our call to action right now is clear, you can support each of these efforts. We also ask that donors support when there aren't emergencies going on, because that only allows us to respond more quickly when it happens. We are currently on the ground in Palestine as well, and our Gaza-based team have access to central warehouses that stockpile relief items. Alhamdulillah, as recently as today, we were able to deliver food to those who are internally displaced and are taking shelter in a UNRWA school. When the blockade of humanitarian aid is eventually lifted, as was announced today, inshallah, we will collaborate with our partners to replenish these warehouses and continue the distribution of much needed items. I want to thank the American Muslim Community Foundation for giving us the opportunity and time to share our work. And thank you to the efforts of our fellow presenters. We hope you'll visit us online and learn more. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shafak. Really appreciate the work that Penny Appeal continues to do. And thank you for partnering with us today. Next up, we have Human Appeal USA, and we have Brother Zahir Khan. So let me make sure that we let you share what you have to say.
Thank you, Mohi. It's the sharing facility still disabled at the moment. I'm just trying to share. I'm not sure it's open now. Perfect. Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just want to thank you guys, first of all, for your time and efforts in joining us. As you can hear from my accent, I'm still in the UK at the moment, so I haven't kicked in my US accent. But just want to introduce myself first of all. My name is Zahir Khan. I'm the director of fundraising for Human Appeal. I just wanted a bit of time really to talk about our charity first of all, just to introduce it to all of our colleagues and respected guests here. So Human Appeal was a charity that's been founded over 30 years ago now in the UK. Through the needs of our projects, we decided to register in the USA in 2021. And since then, I'll talk about some of our journey around then. But during our 30 years or our last 3 decades, we've responded to some of the biggest disasters. And I've personally been involved with a lot of those over the last 7 years since I've been with Human Appeal. We sponsor around 22,000 orphans across 9 countries. What makes us quite different and unique, I'd like to think, is that having worked for three major faith-based charities now and having that experience, is that I'd like to think that Human Appeal is quite bold in terms of taking on projects which other charities may not have access to, alongside working with partners. And we've worked in over 25 different countries. We have 9 of our own field offices, and these are in some of the most difficult areas that you can imagine. So we're talking about our own field office in Syria, in Yemen, and in Gaza as well. So therefore, we have staff on the ground. And that was the case just this year when we had staff on the ground in Turkey, staff on the ground in Syria. And firsthand, we saw how some of our own team members either passed away, perished in the earthquake, or lost family members as well. So the charities, have had that firsthand experience. I'm joined on this call by some of my colleagues who traveled out to Morocco as well. And hopefully if there's any questions that they can answer those. What I have decided to do today is just talk about our projects in Turkey, because quite honestly, our projects in Morocco, because we have responded to Afghanistan, we've responded to Libya. We're currently on the ground. And we're working in Gaza, but the 10 minutes allocated just wouldn't do justice to, first of all, the cause, and then secondly, the amount of work that we've been able to do due to the donations that we've received. We just wanted to add that we work year-round to establish healthcare, education projects, livelihood programs that pave the way for an empowered and self-serving community. We also provide food, medical aid, and disaster relief during emergencies. And we also have a critical intervention that saves lives as well. Just talking about our long-term interventions, I could talk about how we have projects in Pakistan, in Tarbaka, which is a desert region, and how we've established communities there. When I first visited, which was 4 years ago, there was approximately 1.6 million people that didn't have access to water around that time. I'm very proud to say that since we've been working there now, we've taken over about 70 villages, which have now got access to water. They can grow their own crops. They have electricity in their villages. They have toilet facilities, and they have livelihood projects as well. So that's just one of the projects where we've looked at long-term sustainable programs. And when we talk about establishing healthcare, Human Appeal is very proud to talk about how we are one of the leading charities inside Syria. And we look after the majority of all of the hospital interventions in northern Syria, including a hospital which we solely fund called the Al Iman Hospital inside northern Syria as well. And we provide everything from the lighting to the medicine and looking after all the patients there. But let's talk about what we've been doing inside of Morocco at the moment. So we responded to the relief efforts in Morocco. This was probably a bit unique because we didn't have our own field office in Morocco. It's one of the 25 countries that we work in, which doesn't have a field office, minus the 9 that we do have field offices in. However, we've been working in that region for the past 5 years, so we have quite extensive experience. And our first response was the phase one of the emergency. It was led by our own emergency response manager, Brother Ahmad. And during that time, we distributed food items, which were essential to helping the community. We also had hygiene kits, and then also the non-food items, which covered blankets, mattresses, and covers as well. This was essential for us to just keep people warm. We're now working into phase two, which is shelter and other emergency needs. This includes tents, mobile houses, latrines, shower rooms, long-lasting food, hygiene kits, winter kits, school kits, kitchen sets, and covers and mattresses. And I think it was pointed out earlier by one of my colleagues how the winter season in these mountains and valley regions is about to kick in. So phase three of that will be the homes that we're going to reconstruct, as well as the sponsorship of orphans from the earthquake, and also providing the psychosocial support for children of the affected families as well. So what did phase one look like? I just wanted to break that down in terms of how many people we helped, the beneficiaries, and exactly what we did. So phase one was to respond to the most urgent needs of the affected families. and making sure that that was now completed. So this graph just illustrates where we worked. So it's got the location of villages, which I'm not going to be brave enough to try and pronounce. But you can see that on my left. But we've got the location of all of the villages that we worked in, the amount of beneficiaries, and then what we provided in certain areas, as well as the whether there were mattresses or cover kits, and then the total number of beneficiaries which received food as well. So as you can see, the unique beneficiary list is almost 10,000 people that we helped and we responded to in that area as well. And this was done by our own teams on the ground working with local partners. The way we identify local partners is first of all a stringent method of testing their credibility, but then we also get them to recommend the beneficiaries that we're reaching out to. And like I mentioned before, we try and make sure that we delve into the deepest areas, the areas where we attend cluster meetings with the UN, et cetera, to identify and make sure that nobody else is working in that region, or we're not doubling up on the efforts that somebody else is already doing. Phase two is that we're currently assessing 10 villages before commencing with phase two. And once we've identified those, we will look into the distribution of a list of six of those packs, which is the food resilience pack, hygiene kits, school kits, shelter, which includes blankets and mattresses, winter clothing and kitchen sets as well. We're also looking at shelter as well in the form of tents. And then phase three, as I mentioned, will be actual permanent shelter. Human Appeal over the last 4 years has been at the forefront of building homes. We have an outstanding record of building homes inside Syria. I personally oversaw the building of just over 2,500 homes inside Syria, which you can see on our website, which I'll share later on. And we're hoping that we can build permanent homes for these families. But in the meantime, I'll come to the shelters. So the families were or required tents for three reasons. Number one is obviously shelter, storage of food and drinks and tools, and the protection of their animals from the cold, which are a source of the income for the majority of the people in that community. The initial assessment is a need for more than, or there was a need for more than 120,000 tents. And it's been very challenging to source those tents from abroad. So we decided to innovate and manufacture those tents locally. What that does is, first of all, it allows us to purchase them at a local market price, but it also builds the local economy as well, which we're very proud to do and it's at the forefront of what we like to do. So locally manufactured tents are tested and will protect families from the rain and winter conditions, in addition to the economic benefits to local enterprises. We've secured the covers and sewing is now in progress. And we've distributed pilot tents in one of the villages already to just test their quality as well. And these are the pictures of how people were living in the makeshift tents. And as you can see, not very stable, not very protective at all, especially when the high winds are hitting these areas. And the next picture just shows some of the tents that we've constructed using local materials and employing local people as well. So we're hoping now that this will become a story of how we've distributed 120,000 tents. And as we move into the next phase, I just want to lightly touch up on two things before I do finish, which is really about what we're doing in Libya. So we're waiting for some feedback in Libya. We were quite slow off the mark in responding to Libya. We had a lot of pressure for us to respond, but we couldn't identify a local partner. And because of the sanctions in Libya and the worry of sending donor money into Libya, we decided to wait until we had identified a partner. We've now identified several partners and we are responding with the funds that we then collected. The same for Afghanistan. Our team from Pakistan traveled over to Afghanistan 2 years ago and built good local links there. And I'm hoping that in our next opportunity, we can present the work in Afghanistan. And I've mentioned before that it wouldn't be right for me to present the work that we've done in Gaza. In Gaza, we've been responding for the last three decades. So we're a charity that's very well established. We have our own field office there, and many of them are currently under or seeking refuge there now. But just to give you an idea of the work that we've done, in the last decade alone, We've provided food to about 1.5 million people. We've established 9 desalination plants. These are water desalination plants. And many of us know that, you know, water is so scarce there. And we've been able to provide clean water to 2 million people in that region. We currently sponsor around 7,500 orphans in the region. We've renovated masjids, which has meant now that around 80,000 people can regularly worship in those masjids. And we're also very proud to provide olive trees. So we plant olive trees, giving Palestinian farmers a means for livelihood, and also to protect their lands as well from anybody that would be coming to take lands as well. So I'm not sure whether I've gone over my presentation. The final slide really is just some contact details for Human Appeal and my own personal email address as well, if anybody wishes to contact me. Once again, very grateful for the time that you guys have allocated to us. And if there's any questions, happy to take those via email or later on today as well. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Zahir. And thank you so much for sharing a more deeper dive into some of the operations that you have. Last, we have Brother Ilyas Chaudhry from Helping Hand for Relief and Development. So you are a co-host, so you should be able to share your screen as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. So just 1 minute before I start, let me take it to this slide. And yeah, sorry for this. Jazakallah khair, really appreciate the time that you have given. So I have a long presentation, so just quickly go through that. So these are the 4 calamities. And something about HHRD that we try to be at the forefront of empowering lives, creating opportunities, and strengthening the bond of humanity. And we are, through our partner organizations and also 12 registered offices of HHRD across the globe. So we have 12 of our own offices and then partner organizations in the rest of the countries. And we have footprints in 90 plus countries presently. We have a good, credible standing, alhamdulillah. And the basic concept that we follow is that wherever there's a disaster, can be a man-made disaster or natural disaster, can be poverty, can be climate change, all those things. We try to go there and help people initially through relief efforts. And then we have developmental projects. We have around 28,000 orphans right now across the globe and some of the other developmental projects. So we have 14 of them, these projects, which are some of them you can see on the screen. And as we all know that we have these sustainable development goals for the world, there are 17 of them. So our programs actually touch 10 of these SDGs. So we try to participate in this overall effort which is going on across the globe. So we try to participate and have a little bit of our share in it, inshallah. And for our donors, we provide this opportunity, as you have already seen, a lot of programs, a lot of projects. So that gives an opportunity to our donors to have a diversified portfolio of their giving, basically. More than 10 million people we have served last year. From Morocco, we already know that a devastating earthquake came on September 8th at an altitude of more than 13,000 feet, you know, in this Atlas Mountains. Very difficult to reach over there. A lot of people got affected. In fact, one of our persons who went from here, he said that people always said that over there said that they were really sad because they have lost so many people, as you can see on the screen. But at the same time, they felt that now people of the world know that they also exist in this world, you know, because they were living at that height and kind of neglected. So So they said that this incident has made people to realize that they also, these people also exist in the world. So we know all the devastation. Our team from USA had two members from USA and also two members from our Jordan team went over there. There was a community leader from USA. He also went with us. And all the basic needs which were needed, we have provided in the first go round, helping more than 1,000 families through different different provisions that we have provided, like tents, mattresses, blankets, and so on. And these are some of the photographs that you can see of our activities. Our team from here in the USA was there. Elderly people were one of the priority. And here are some activities for the children, you know, psychosocial support for the children, tents for the families. On the long run, we have two projects which are already there, and they're going to start in the next 1 week or so. One is a healthcare project where they will have mobile clinic running for the next 6 months, and we'll be taking care of at least 12,000 patients. And then our WASH projects, more than 20 WASH projects will be done. If the government of Morocco will allow, then we will also have prefab shelters, prefab classrooms, support the orphans, and we'll also have a skills development and livelihood program. For Libya, as we know, it was, the city of Derna was really badly hit, and the situation in Libya is very volatile. There are two governments over there. It's difficult to work. And what we did was, and large number of people affected, especially in Derna, large number of people got affected. Initially, it was said that maybe more than 12,000 people have died, but that number has decreased. But people are still missing October 10th when these stats were there. So we already have seen this devastation. The interesting thing, which was that usually these scenes are for when an earthquake happens or a man-made disaster happens. But with a flood like that, it was because of the dam broken. The scenes were really horrific. You know? So initially we have sent our team over there. They met one of the suggested partner organization. That partner organization is registered with UNO. So we had initially helped 800 families, but we will do some long-term projects also. And some of the activities that were done were the soup kitchen, which was established by our partner organization, and they did food distribution on our behalf, because our team was not allowed to go into Derna. But our team was in Tripoli. In Tripoli, there are a lot of internally displaced people came in, and we were able to help those internally displaced people through the provisions. On the longer run, again, we will do the same similar kind of projects, home repairs, rebuilding, shelters, WASH projects, food security and livelihood. For Afghanistan, in Afghanistan, we already have around 2,000 orphans that we support. We have our own registration and our own team. Our team was able to reach on ground on 8th of October, which was the second day after the first earthquake that hit over there. So our team is already there. A lot of homes have been damaged in that area. So you can see a few photographs. Our team has sent a few of them. And we are concentrating, and their priority people are children, elderly, women, persons with disabilities. This is a child getting some infant milk, you know. Our team went and realized that the children need a lot of help. We have already helped around 1,500 families, which is around 7,000 people, and more will be done in weeks and months, even years to come, because we may be adopting some, sponsoring some of the orphans over there. So some of the activity photographs, we also provided some of these equipment for rubble removing and things like that as well. So these are some of the photographs. We have provided water in that area, food, ready-made food, like ready-to-eat meals, and milk for the children, and some psychosocial activities for the children over there. And on the long run, we have already planned that, inshallah, at least we will start with 50 homes to be built, and we may go up to 100 homes. And there will be mobile clinics similar to what we are doing in Morocco, as well as water and sanitation hygiene projects, food security and livelihood projects. Palestine, again, since the situation is extremely, extremely volatile and it's not easy, but we are, whatever we can, we are trying to help, inshallah. So some of the stats which are coming out are very horrific, like more than 3,000 people dead, and a lot of calamity has hit them. We have a couple of partner organizations. These are vetted partner organizations inside, and their volunteers actually went in the field and sent us these photographs from the field. So our strategy basically is that, inshallah, we are already, we have committed at least minimum in the beginning, $100,000 that we are spending through a partner organization that is supporting those internally displaced people in the shelters, in the schools that we have seen. So we have committed $100,000 and we are working on starting that project in the next 1 or 2 days through this partner organization, which is on ground over there. And our team in Jordan, which is our registered team in Jordan, they have started preparing items, and the government of Jordan is going to help us airlift all the items into Egypt, from where they will be sent to Palestine. Today, President Biden has announced about this thing that the siege will be removed and humanitarian corridor will be open. So hopefully we are able to go in as soon as possible. And our team from Jordan is going to go to Egypt to make sure that all the things are sent in. Today they have prepared 1,000 of these food packages. So 1,000 families will be supported. Plus they are going to give 1,500 blankets also in the first go round, and everything will be airlifted over there.
Thank in the you. Past, I just want to be cognizant of time.
Sorry.
Really, of course. No. It's really tough to do justice to everything that mm-hmm. your organizations are doing. So again, you know, thank you so much to Amina and Zakat Foundation, Shafak and Penny Appeal, Zahir and Human Appeal, and Ilyas and HHRD. So with, you know, people on right now, if there's any questions that you have, feel free to ask. If there are questions, we'll give it a moment to see if anybody puts anything in the chat or comes off mute to share. And we'll give that just some time. Okay, as there isn't any direct question yet, I just want to close with Surat al-Asr, and then we can put this online on YouTube and on our podcast, and inshallah more people will be able to listen to it, and we'll do that later today. So thank you again so much, everybody, for joining. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين السلام عليكم everyone thank you
عليكم